Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. On this incredibly wonderful spring day here in the East, everything is in bloom. It is so gorgeous, blue skies, flowers everywhere, green grass. Reminds me of what the French used to say, le bon Dieu. Part of the good gods in his heaven, all's well with the world. That being said, my friends, two subjects I wanted to discuss. For those who might be listening who are new to this show, you might not be aware of the fact that I work with the cherubim who hold the Akashic records in the center of the cosmos. And I'm going to be reflecting on some of this information that I get from the readings and from the cherubim themselves. Actually, the cherubim play a much greater role in the workings of the cosmos than what church dogma tells us. And it's the reason I want to discuss this, because what I have found out in doing readings for people is many years ago, vast contingencies of cherubim were sent to planet Earth. And what is happening now is some of the cherubim are feeling a call to have a reading done, and in that reading, their soul has prompted them because they are cherubim. And it is really a shock in your life when you live a life here, day-to-day routine, working, maybe taking care of children, a family, to find out that in your past, you were in the choirs of heaven as a cherubim. And it is because you came to earth and you passed through the veil of forgetfulness like everyone else. You don't remember. And as you came down through the dimensions, many of your attributes were shorn from your soul. They couldn't be compacted down here in the dense particles of this dimension. Now, the reason that I bring this up, my friends, is there may be people out there who are listening who are indeed a cherubim. And it is important now to know this. Yes, a lot of people are talking about ascension. It's true. We're talking about changes. That's true. We're talking about cells becoming crystalline, bodies being rewired, making ourselves ready for the next dimension. All of that is true. But for the cherubim, who are in flesh right now, who might even be listening to my voice, either live or in the archive, you have three choices in front of you now. One choice is you can stay on this earth and reincarnate. The second choice is you could go with Archangel Michael to his golden galaxy that he is preparing, or you can go back home. Home. If you have felt like there is a yearning that no matter what happens to you on this planet, you might be happy, but there is a certain emptiness there. No matter how happy you are here, there is a draw, there is a pull, and it is because unknowingly you wish to be back there where you were, next to Source, working with Source's energies and your sisters in the choir of cherubim. Now you might be saying, oh my goodness, that doesn't sound possible. How in the world, if I could be a cherubim, would I have gotten here? with my feet walking on this planet? It's a good question. And I think everyone who awakens to the fact that they're a cherubim in human flesh thinks the same thing. Oh my goodness, it couldn't be me. So if you've listened to this program before, you might have heard some of this story, and if you have, be patient, because there might be some out there who haven't heard this story. When Source began in vibration, apparently the record doesn't show what caused Source to begin in vibration. God always was. Source always was. But then the cherubim came, or rather the seraphim, which were the group or the ring directly connected to Source, the very closest, came into being through Source's work. Interestingly, what I've learned is what vibration is, as it comes through the cosmos, is actually the Creator's love. This is what vibration is. It's the only energy that is available to Source, the only emotion that Source is love. And that love pours forth as vibration, and the seraphim reflect some of that back to Source so that this energy wave is never depleted. But some of it comes through to the cherubim, and a portion of the cherubim carry God's love throughout the entire cosmos. You have felt it because it holds together. It is the matrix that the energy of this matrix holds together all life. It makes it cohesive. It is inspiration, whether it is in music, literature, love of some force, some type of love. It is all Source's energy, Source's emotion, as the cherubim have carried. And the cherubim will also be responsible for watching over that checkpoint between this dimension and the next, so that negative forces cannot make their way to the next higher dimension. That also is their job. And then the second layer of cherubim are responsible for compacting, for accumulating, for sorting out everybody's individual Akashic record and melding it together in their record bank at the foot of Source. And when Source asks for an individual's record, an individual soul's record, the cherubim turns the record over to them. Now, I wanted to say that little bit of a background so you understand, if you're a cherubim, how you got here. There's a lot of cherubim here. And the reason for that is this part of the cosmos, this universe here, is one of the later universes that came into form. That soul that we know of, we call Yeshua, Jesus, Ananda, was the first soul that was created after the cherubim, after this angelic realm. They call him the favored son. He had a different name. It was a vibration that they have not been able to duplicate for him, for me, the sound of this name, this sacred name. And so as one who was able to create using God's blueprint, using God's energy and power and being aligned to God, this soul that we know of as Yeshua worked with the Elohim. And that is a beautiful picture as to how this part of the cosmos was brought into being with the help of Archangel Michael. And yes, all of Archangel Michael's light workers were there to hold space, to help hold the energy of this creation. And as this was to be, as the plans were being thought out, gone over, there were possibilities that the soul could see of perhaps some destruction here. We know of it, we see it as the asteroid belt, we know of it as Mardak. And yes, there was a confrontation there. And there were those souls who were diametrically opposed to Source, who worked on something that went astray, and there was the possibility of an implosion, not an explosion, but an implosion where everything, where matter falls in upon itself. And so the soul went back to God, told of the possibility, and asked for cherubim to be sent here in case this possibility became a reality, that they could hold together the energies, the vibrations, the force, the cohesiveness, so that there wouldn't be this implosion where all matter would fall in upon itself, because they didn't know exactly just how far this might reach. This implosion, this falling matter falling in on itself, might have gone back to Source. So it was very important that the cherubim came, and two choirs, two very large contingents of cherubim came. And throughout the centuries, they have been here working. They have gathered every time there was a golden age. It was through these groups of cherubim as they worked with Source's energy, they brought forth the plan of the golden ages. And as the negative forces came, they struggled with them and eventually had to hide the information that they had brought forth so that the negative forces would not take over and utilize the gifts. And so round after round of incarnations and work occurred, where some of the cherubim stayed in the high astral planes and some incarnated here on this planet to bring forth what they were attempting to bring forth. And the fact is, they were not able to go back. The work was not finished. They were not able to go back because the energies was not here to allow them to go back. Coming here, my friends, was very difficult. And going back without the proper energies would be impossible. And those energies are on the doorstep. They are about to arrive. And those cherubim who wish to go home can go home. It is much easier to leave from the higher dimensions and wend your way down here to the lower dimensions than it is to go from the lower dimensions to the higher dimensions. This is the first time this opportunity has happened since the cherubim came. Many cherubim have been coming asking for a reading, and they have been given this information so they know their choices, so that they can prepare. So my friends, join us with your thoughts, your opinions, your questions. Our number here is toll free. Can you imagine in this day and age you're actually getting something free? Call us at BBS Radio, 877-876-5227. I've told this story before, but I want to mention it again because I just think, number one, it's a beautiful story and it's worth hearing again. How the creation of this planet came about. It was remarkable. And I had the great privilege to be able to watch this again through the records. And Archangel Michael, his part of the job was he came with a thread. Inside of this thread was the sacred geometric shapes that forms matter. And so some people know of this thread as a string in the string theory, and this is what it was. Archangel Michael brought the string here. He brought the sacred geometry, and when you looked inside of the string, you could see it, all of the geometric shapes all fitting into one another. And all of his light workers came. And this was the thing that Archangel Michael asked me to tell you. If you are a light worker, if you align yourself with Source, if you feel that Archangel Michael is calling you or is one of your friends in this vast array of masters and angels and archangels, then you are a light worker. You are part of his family, and you were here when this planet was created. You held the energy. Well, you might say, what energy? Well, let me tell you what it looked like. Archangel Michael, as I said, brought the string. The Elohim brought the four corners of creation. They looked like enormous pillars. They all came together. And as they came together from the separate corner, they looked square. They didn't look round. And as they came together, there was a resonance. And I can't explain how it happened. I just know what I saw, what did happen. There was this enormous, what looked like an explosion. It was beautiful. It was red and orange and white. And it covered the entire space as far as you could see. It looked like it covered all of eternity. And that was the heat, the energy that with the string and the sacred geometric shapes. And I am told also the voice, the song, the vibration of the favored son, who also came into play, who also was involved with holding the blueprint. And all of this congealed in that moment. And as it settled and it cooled and it moved, the earth spun, the sun spun, and it was this beautiful, magnificent canopy of creation. And you were a part in it. The light workers who came with Archangel Michael came from many of the planets. You were delighted and happy to be here. You relished in this new plan. If you've read Archangel Michael's book, Earth History, you will know from that it wasn't planned that there would be such negativity on this planet. But what had happened is there was another planet. People were warlike and they destroyed their planet. But before it was destroyed, those who were guiding those individuals asked the elders here, who were the very early Atlanteans and also the elders who were the Lemurians, if these individuals could reincarnate here on this planet. And they were given the opportunity to do that because the Lemurians, they were communities of great love also, and they felt that love could conquer all. And so these individuals came, and because of their negative warlike ways, those entities who were diametrically opposed to Source started to oversee their actions and became a part of their actions. They were allowed to direct their activities. And it was the basis of this great pain that we've had here, century after century of wars and confrontations with one another. And it is now deemed that we are at the end of that cycle, that all has been learned from that. There is nothing more, nothing new that can be learned. And we have come to the point of what we know of as ascension now. And something interesting that I found from the records is that Source, or the one that you would call God, made an agreement with the creators here in this part of the cosmos that there would be no interference until the end of this cycle. And the cycle is upon us, and it is because Source, God now, is taking a part in how this cycle is going to end and what is going to be the new direction and the new life. And so I will repeat now, in case you have tuned in late, if you have some twinge of curiosity, are you a cherubim? Look into it, because this is the end of this round, this cycle. And if you choose to go home, and that word is such a beautiful word, if you choose to go home, now is your opportunity. So friends, give us a call. We're almost halfway through the show today. Give me your thoughts, your questions, or if you have a question about the Akashic Records or some information that is in there, give us a call. We have a toll-free number, 877-876-5227. Now, last week, what the show was about is meditation, inspiration, reaching the higher mind. In other words, what was the difference between all of this? How would one meditate? How would one reach the higher mind? And we had some people who called in and talked about the monad. They had some questions about the monad, because we had mentioned that the monad is behind the higher mind, and you reach the monad through the higher mind, and that the higher mind is like the entrance way. And so we were running out of time, and what I decided to do was to get some information from the Akashic Records discussing the difference between the higher mind and the soul monad. Now, I think that's kind of exciting stuff, but I haven't heard you call in, so maybe you don't think it's all that exciting. So, friends, one of the ways that a host knows what excites the listeners is when they call in. And if you call in and tell me your thoughts, ask your questions, I know we're on the right track. We're bringing forth the information that brings forth your imagination. And bless you, someone felt inclined to call with it. And your name?
Carolyn, this is Marie Robbins.
I didn't hear your name, dear.
Marie Robbins.
Oh, hi, Marie. What can we do for you? I love hearing your voice.
Well, thank you. It's very interesting what you're saying today, that we have like three choices, and whether we are cherubims. I'd be very interested to know that. And our three choices are staying on Earth, or being with Archangel Michael, or going home.
Yeah.
I would love to know the, you know, what I have chosen to do. I feel like I have done a tremendous amount of work here. Am I a cherubim? And
well,
first of all,
you might not have chosen yet.
Well, you know, on the airplane here, I probably have, because I always say that I have I want to ascend since 1992, and we were starting up with this work.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said that I wanted to stay here and help bring the others along as we ascended. And I was just wondering, that was back in 92, and I still say the same thing, but is it just that I don't know anything else other than to say that same thing?
Marie, let's see what the cherubim have to say. And do you see into the next dimension?
Pardon? No, I don't.
I thought maybe you did.
I wish I did.
because you might see a cherubim standing there with your record. They stand with what looks like a book, but it's not really a book. It is an energetic circle that is pressed on a magnetic spot, sort of like a computer backup, a floppy disk. And the cherubim show us in the feminine picture, though they are neither feminine nor masculine, but they have this great sense of care like a mother has for her child, and that's why they give the appearance of the female as they work with us, even though they're androgynous. And your question was, are you a cherubim? And let's see what they say. She has opened up the book, and she is placing her finger in a spot. It is so beautiful, Marie, because what I see there is 1 second there is nothing, and the next second there is your consciousness as it awakens to the fact that you exist, that you are in spiritual form, and there is an amazement in that. And I have seen this before when the souls come forth. There is such an amazement that at that second they realize that they exist and they have consciousness. And there is your soul with your consciousness, and it is forming. I see all of these particles swirling around. And along with these particles, as they are coalescing and they are moving to the sound that is the music of the spheres. And this cherubim is saying, try to imagine this, that you see yourself forming in the spinning of these colored lights and the music of the spheres, because the cover of your book is a very familiar cover. It is an aquamarine cover, Marie, and around the edges there is gold edges. The aquamarine is the color of the cherubim. All cherubim have this shade in their records. It is like the color of the aquamarine stone, except it is a little darker. And she is showing me now, you form with your other soul family, and at that moment there is the magnificent sound coming from these souls that is the praise of the Creator. It was the first thing they did after they became aware of who they were. And the reason that this sound of praise came forth was because they felt the energy, this extremely strong energy of the love vibration as it moved from source to the newly created and forming cherubim. There are many choirs of cherubim, and I see them standing one in front of the other. There is a vast array, so vast that it seems almost impossible to see the end of it. And the energy of love that comes forth from source is so intense. It is the most intense form of love that anyone can feel, so that there is ecstasy about it. And each one of the cherubim were like moving on a wave that, if you could see seagrasses as they moved underwater, how the tides moved them back and forth, the cherubim would sway in this ecstasy of energy as it came from source. And it would be wave on wave until at last there was a moment when it stopped. They beheld the light of God as it filled them completely. And it was all that they wanted to feel, this fulfillment of Source's love. And so she closes the book, my dear Marie, and she says that they are in awe of all of their sisters and brothers who have come to this planet willing to support the work of the Creator. It was something that had to be done, and that the cherubim loved the Creator's work so much that they would be willing to leave Source to protect Source's love as it filtered down to the lower dimensions, as it created all of creation. And they say, thank you. Thank you for who you are, what you are, and the choices that you made. So wasn't that beautiful, my dear Marie?
I am so moved. That is absolutely phenomenal. That we come from such a place and we're able to get this type of information in this day and age, it is so exciting.
It's extremely exciting. And the reason that we are to get this information now, that everything has been opened up, because this is the end of the cycle. And it is very important that we all know this.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Thank you so much. That was just absolutely beautiful.
Yes, wasn't it exquisite?
I could see the weeds under the water. And when I do dance, which isn't often, but when I do, I always have that feeling of that wave.
Yes.
My hands always do that wave.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I do so many of these readings, so much information comes out. The cherubim actually have a language.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a language of circles and straight lines, part of the sacred geometry. And there are some cherubim out there who have not known this, but doodle with it. And when it is pointed out to them that as a cherubim, they are, in a sense, mouthing the symbols on paper that they literally use to communicate with one another.
Mm.
And so when I do these readings and people ask me these questions, I have to tell you, Marie, I am amazed. It never ceases to amaze me, the information that comes forth, because it is so exquisite, and it touches one in a certain way that's hard to explain. It is like one soul touching another soul. And so I was delighted to bring this forth for you. And I think a lot of the cherubim, they are not aware of their roots, so to speak, but they're very sincere about the path that they are on. And the purpose of all of this is to awaken individuals to what is on the horizon. I remember some of the journey here, Marie. It felt like we were contained in something that seemed like, if I were to imagine the shape, it was almost like a bullet, round at the top and flat on the bottom, and I felt very like claustrophobic, and I never understood why there were events in my life that I couldn't stand to be alone someplace behind a locked door or confined in a small space. And it wasn't until I started to remember the trip here, what it felt like, that I could then understand how I could not be in a tight space if a door, especially if a door was locked. It took me a long time to get over that.
Interesting.
So there are could be things in your past that are there because of events that happened in your journey.
Yes. Yes, I think I'm smothering. I can't have anything over my face.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
When my husband and I, he has passed on, but he, if he even took that blanket and put it over my face, I would go ballistic.
Well, see, it wasn't just that the space was confined, Marie, but the other thing that was happening is our being home was very large, and there was like spaces in between the particles. This is one of the things that happens when you go up through the higher dimensions. And as you come down through to the lower dimensions, it's almost as if you feel like you're being squeezed. And what happens is, as we came down, we lost some of our angelic abilities. They were shorn from us. They were taken away from us because they couldn't exist on the lower dimensions. It's why many of the cherubim worked and helped support us in the high astral plane. So there was always a group of cherubim on the high astral planes that would help support us in our missions while we were here on this planet. But once you know what that is from, you might find it a little bit easier not to feel... it's sort of like a fear, like you're talking about, you couldn't have a blanket over your face.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you feel somewhat of an emotion of fear about that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you say yes?
Yes, because I want to push that blanket away or anything that's on my face. It has to be right on my face, though.
Well, but that's what it felt like when we were coming down through the dimensions. And now that you know that, you can probably work with that fear. Once you know where it came from, you can probably clear that and, you know, work with that.
Yes. Very good.
Well, Marie, it was wonderful speaking to you, and we'll be talking to you on the conference call.
Yes, absolutely. And likewise, speaking with you, I enjoy your shows, and thank you so much.
Oh, and bless you for listening.
Okay, thank you. My pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Well, friends, that does bring up a thought, and we had mentioned to Marie about the conference calls, and I would like to mention that. We have two conference calls. One is Voices from Heaven, where we interview people from the other side, and that's on the second Thursday of the month. We're coming up to that. And our guest this month, I thought we would have invite Marilyn Monroe because she embodied the female aspect. And we have another caller in your name.
Hi, Carolyn. This is Nancy. How you doing?
Hi, Nancy. Golly, I haven't heard from you for a while. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. And you?
Well, you know, this has been, I'd say I'm doing great. But I think we've had a lot of challenges with energy and the physical. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
You know, all of this love, light, laughter, and ascension is not always what it's cracked up to be when you're in pain, right?
That's right, and I am.
Oh, yeah, it's been an interesting ride.
Yes.
Well, you've called in to our Saturday shows and talked to Charlene, and when we had Wednesday's show, did that also. Is it just that you have new challenges, or is it a repeat of the same old thing?
Right now, they're new challenges, you know, same pain area, but, you know, I think it's something else coming up.
Well, I think you have found that a lot of this is clearing away the trauma from past lifetimes, haven't you?
Yes.
And you're working with that, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
I'm doing the best I can.
Well, we can't expect much more than that, can we?
There you go.
So what can I do for you today, Nancy?
Well, I was going to see if you can tell me if I have anything to do with being a cherubim.
Well, we don't know. I certainly don't know, but we'll go to the source and see what they say.
Thank you. I'd appreciate that.
Wasn't that a beautiful description?
Oh, it was. My goodness. I had tears coming out of my eyes.
You know, the interesting thing about that, Nancy, is I never know what's going to happen until I ask the question and they answer. And when the cherubim take the book, you know, these books of inspiration of our past journeys are so incredibly beautiful. This tapestry that we are weaving as a soul, exploring all of creation, is so incredibly tender and beautiful that when we hear it coming from the from another perspective, you know, down here, it's really difficult. As I say, we don't have an operational manual.
There you go. We don't.
And we see this in such a small aspect of what we're doing, and we don't have the overall picture. And then when we go to the cherubim and we get this overall picture of what it looks like from the other side, it is just so incredibly beautiful. So let me see what they have to say.
Thank you.
Have you ever asked for this in the past for a reading?
No, not this one.
I mean, about your soul mission or anything of that?
Yes.
What did they tell you your soul mission was?
I know I'm here to hold the light and for healing.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I'm sure that mission is going to be tied into the creation of your soul because it always is.
Mm-hmm.
So let's... I have to chuckle at this because the cherubim is standing there, and they're so elegant. They are so elegant, and their movement is just so graceful.
Mm.
And they, as I said, they show the feminine aspect to us here on Earth. And they look very tall to me and graceful, and they're showing me themselves in a bodily form, though, of course, they're not really embodied. But they show the form of this tall, elegant, well, you might say a princess or a priestess, very beautiful. So she does have a book. And she's bringing the book forward. And she says, Nancy, you really know the cover of your book, don't you?
Do I know the cover of my book?
No, she is saying, you really know the cover of your book, don't you?
Golly, no. I think I'm supposed to, though, huh?
No, I think there's a part of you that really does know, or she would not have said that.
Okay.
Because she is showing me the same aquamarine cover. It has a golden edge around the border. And in the front, there is a golden emblem that looks like filigree work. If you think of what filigree looks like,
mm-hmm.
This emblem is in filigree. And there is a cross. It has nothing to do with the cross as we think of as the Savior's cross, but rather this cross has to do with the four corners. We talked about the four corners of creation earlier,
uh-huh.
And this, it is like a cross that is thicker, or yeah, I guess the word would be thicker gold, and then the edge is going from one arm to the other of the cross. It is like filigree work. It is very beautiful, and it is gold. And he says that... now, the other, you see, the cherubim have very specialized jobs. And this particular emblem was not on the previous book that we looked at on Marie's cover. But there is a reason that this cross is on your cover representing the four corners is because you work with the vibrational wave that was involved with the four corners. Now, the four corners of creation are brought into place whenever there is a new universe being created. And this does not happen as frequently as one might think, but it does happen quite a few times. It is not the star nurseries, but it is the four corners of bringing forth a universe. And when you were created, you were brought into form, that would be what you would have worked with. The energy, well, all the cherubim in some form are working with vibration, but that would have been your distinct journey. And she goes on to say that you have spent many lifetimes in the upper realms, holding the energies for those cherubim that were on Earth. So you had done that for quite a few of your lifetimes, and you wish to be embodied this time. In this lifetime, to be here at the ending of this cycle. And it is one of the reasons why you chose the mission that you have chosen, because you understand how to hold those energies, and you've done that through so many of your past lifetimes in the upper realms. And so you basically are doing the same thing here, in a sense, except you're embodied.
Wow.
Now, they are saying further that it is important for you to connect to your higher mind. You do meditate, but that you haven't done that yet.
Okay.
So we're not going to get to discuss the second part of what we were going to discuss, and that was the difference between the higher mind and the soul monad. Did you listen last week when we talked about the difference between inspiration and meditation?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, this, what we will do, so you heard that, next week we'll work on this other part about the higher mind and the soul monad, because the soul monad holds all of the experiences that we have ever held since the our through the different families connecting back to source, and we can access that, but we have to, it's more difficult, but we have to reach the higher mind first, and that's why it's important to work with that, to reach the higher mind, because what happens is it is the way of bringing forth memory. In other words, one of the things that we would be very helpful for us is if we started to remember. And that's what we're going to talk about next week, the higher mind, the soul monad, and bringing forth the memories from our past.
Awesome.
So tune in, Nancy.
Oh, you know I will. I have not missed you.
Good hearing from you, darling.
Thank you, and thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Well, folks, we have about 3 more minutes. We really don't have time to take more calls and do more readings because of the time constraint. And so if you wanted to join the program and you were not able, you can call in this Saturday. Oh, I just remembered, next Sunday is Mother's Day. I'm going to be playing a rerun next Sunday because I'm a mother. And my family said, oh, you got to come have dinner with us. And so next Sunday I'm going to take off. We'll play a rerun. Matter of fact, I think maybe what I'm going to do is ask the studio to rerun last Sunday's program, because I think it would be a good idea for us to have a better understanding, to hear again how to connect to the higher mind. This is extremely important. And then the Sunday after Mother's Day, we will work with the higher mind and the soul monad. And so, my friends, if you have enjoyed what you have heard today, do join us. Do tell your friends about our show every other Saturday and every Sunday. And do consider joining us on the conference calls. We are working with the masters. Archangel Michael has been with us working on the standing wave. And we have individuals like Master Kuthumi, Yeshua, Mary Magdalene, Mother Mary. These are all people who come on the conference calls. The meditations are beautiful, and the information that we receive is most remarkable. So you can go to my website at www.carolynevers.com, and that's CarolynEvers.com. Get information, perhaps to order a reading for yourself or to find out more about the conference calls. And until next Saturday, that will be the next time when we'll be together, where we can touch one another and share information with one another. My love goes out to all of you. Goodbye for now. This is Carolyn Evers. Until we touch again.